It's perfect. We've kept our promise. Major League Baseball has kept its promise. The dream's still alive. There's probably just one question to answer. Is this heaven? I don't think I heard you. Is this heaven? Yes, it is.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
And good Friday morning. As we head into the weekend, you're headed to work, we got you. Hopefully you're in a four-hour car ride. You've got a four-hour commute to work, hopefully, because we'll be with you the full 4 hours.
What kind of introduction is that, hopefully you have a four-hour commute?
Well, I'm hoping that they can stay for the whole show.
Time spent listening, that's a term we hear in meetings about ratings. We're not looking for 4 hour time spent listening.
Well, I think it will
TSL.
Help us. I hope there's a couple of not serious accidents, just ones that take up four lanes.
You're a terrible person.
Like a stalled truck that kind of turns sideways and blocks all the lanes.
I've been in that situation where an overturned trailer couldn't be lifted by normal means, so they had to bring in something special, so I was stuck on 45 South for two and a half, three hours.
Right.
I would say if anyone was wondering why I ever called you Trash Ass Lance, this is one of the reasons.
Well,
you can't do that to people.
I'm not wanting injuries. I just wanting you guys not to listen. You don't have to work that way. I'm keeping you out of work and I'm keeping you listening.
I think if I gave people the option, you get in an accident where you have to be, you know, put in an ambulance and taken to the hospital for evaluation because of a neck issue, or stuck behind some trailer overturned for 4 hours, they take the trip to the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, it's not usually, but that's when we're not on the radio. So it's going to be a more pleasant 4 hour stay for you.
What a terrible person you are.
On your highway. Good morning. That's Dell. As you can tell, he's already, you know, as anti you guys listening to our show for 4 hours.
Oh, no, I'm good with
I'm
that.
I'm pro.
I just don't think the circumstances you're setting up is a good idea for
people. Any means necessary is the old saying. It's what, you know, it's what the coaches used to say. By any means necessary, the different coaches would say.
You're Greg Williams. You just asked for a bounty on the listeners. you want a bounty
they always,
on their heads.
Listen, they've always said, take out the head and the body will follow.
Yeah.
That's been the saying for years and years about listenership and radio. I never knew what it was meant, but for whatever reason, Greg Williams would say that. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you guys into long traffic so that you don't have to work and you can listen for the full show. Now, if you are an earlier morning listener within the first hour and a half, you're going to get a chance to hear a more condensed version of our interview with Rafael Stone, the Rockets general manager, his first time on ESPN 97.5. We're going to have that later in this hour, and he had some really good stuff. Before I get to the Field of Dreams game, I do want to say Jalen Green looks like he's out for the summer league. He left yesterday, the Rockets' second-round pick, left with a right hamstring issue. He is going to have an MRI, so that is something that's probably going to knock him out. They don't think it's serious, but from a precautionary standpoint, and really, frankly, just because he probably can't play right now because he does have that hamstring, we are going to see him exit likely the duration of Summer League. Now, he leaves Summer League with a good shooting line, 19 of 37, just over 50% from the floor. He was 10 of 19 from three, which is terrific. And we know he had a good game against Cade Cunningham. He was good when he was on the floor. So very good opening salvo from the rookie from the G League and the second pick of the draft, Jalen Green. But that's all we're going to see from him for Summer League. So just something to keep your eye on is that hamstring issue. But once again, we're in August, so not likely to be an issue moving forward. As you heard, that was Kevin Costner to start the show off, and that was his pregame speech. Part of the pregame speech he gave before the Field of Dreams game, in case you missed it, kind of just crept up on people. I probably should have mentioned it more yesterday, and by more I mean ever. That was the big game. I honestly forgot that was coming on. I didn't have the date circled, and I stumbled across it. I stumbled across the game while I was looking for preseason action. I turned it on Fox 26, and there I was in the first inning with Lance Lynn on the mound for Chicago White Sox, burly Lance Lynn in the old 1900s, White Sox jersey. Now, the gloves that they used in this old-timey game, you had the Yankees with kind of I guess it was old-timey, but just kind of looks like the same old Yankees as always. And then you had the White Sox in a very old-timey uniform. They didn't have the three-finger gloves. They actually had the four-finger gloves, so they didn't go that far where it's a smashed flat glove. So the gloves and the bats were up to current standards. But it was a really cool thing that Major League Baseball did yesterday. The Field of Dreams game, where they built a baseball stadium in a cornfield, just like the movie, the Kevin Costner movie from the late 80s. If you've never seen it, I'll be honest with you, I was not a huge fan. I thought it was just okay. I might like it better now than I did then. I was a much bigger Bull Durham fan, if you want to look at Kevin Costner baseball movies. But what they built there was really, really cool. It is literally in the middle of a cornfield. And, of course, they built where you have some parking around it. But the corn, literally, you have the outfield wall, which we saw plenty of it because there are plenty of home runs in the 9-8 win, come-from-behind walk-off win by the Chicago White Sox in the ninth inning. We saw the outfield wall has what looks to be wood, or at least that's what it appears to be, along the top of it. Then it was chain link below it. And I think one of the reasons it's chain link is so that you can see the corn stalks, because it's literally corn pressed right up against the outfield wall. And there were plenty of home runs, including a 3-run and 2-run home run by Aaron Judge. But the game itself, I could get into details of the game, but I don't think you're here for that. But if you didn't see it, I would definitely suggest going and looking at whatever you could from a highlight standpoint, because it was just the way that it was set up, the wooden scoreboard that they built. It was not lined with a tremendous amount of seats. It was they had a grandstand behind, and then they had seats running all the way down the third baseline to the outfield poles and most of the way on first base. But so there was limited seating, and it didn't take away from the venue itself, which was supposed to be about the field itself and what surrounded the field. So really cool moment, I thought, for Major League Baseball, as the Yankees and White Sox did not disappoint. Quite a performance, including four runs to take a lead, 8-7 in the ninth inning by the Yankees. Home runs by Stanton and Aaron Judge. Judge with his second homer of the night. And then you had a two-run walk-off home run by Tim Anderson from the White Sox as the good guys won. White Sox beat the bad guys, the Yankees. But I don't know how much of that you saw. I was also watching some preseason football as well, so I was switching back and forth. I did see Kevin Costner in the booth with Joe Buck and John Smoltz as well. Did you get to see how much of that? Did you get to see how much of the actual field? Like, did you get to see the setup and what it looked like?
I saw the field images before. Obviously, the highlights of the home runs I saw. Right. I don't know who I was more annoyed by. People like, oh, I would love to have a catch on the field from Field of Dreams, or people salivating over Mac Jones. Because those are the two things going on last night.
That's primarily what Twitter was, with just a smattering of Steeler fans trying to say, hey, what about
Dwayne Haskins?
What about Dwayne Haskins? It's Najee Harris.
Hey.
You see Steelers football, too? I'm like, I don't even know where y'all's game is.
Hey, I'm Mac Jones.
I couldn't find this. Where was the Steelers game?
On the local channels.
Okay, because I
Pennsylvania.
Couldn't find. I was looking for Steelers game somewhere online.
You'd have to find the stream.
So what I was watching was Field of Dreams and Mac Jones, because Cam was out fairly.
Hey, look, I'm Mac Jones. I'll throw 17, 19 passes and get 87 yards and get everyone excited.
Everyone relax.
That's right. Mac Jones time. 11 straight completions, Dell. 11 straight completions.
Total
like 40 some odd yards, probably.
About 87 yards on 19 throws.
On the night, yes. Yeah. It was a game And that's something we'll get into here for a second. I was listening on the way into Fox in their one of their argument shows. It was Chris Broussard and Joy Taylor and LeVar Arrington, and they had some very different takes. Well, LeVar was basically not here for it. He was protecting Cam by all means necessary.
Cam has that type of immunity with some people.
I know. It was a little weird. He seems to think that there's absolutely no chance that Mac Jones wins this job because Cam got the typical, you know, couple of, just like when you're the for sure starter, you get a couple of series, and then the other guy comes in and plays. And when you play that much, you can't possibly have a chance of winning the job when you play as much as Mac Jones, which was five series. But we'll get into that here in the next segment because I want to explore that one just a little bit. It's almost like we have to watch other people's quarterback battles because we won't have one here, although we did have a feisty
Deshaun Watson.
We had an ornery Deshaun Watson for the first time, which I was surprised how many people were – it became a story. Deshaun, the nice guy Deshaun, telling people to turn that bleep off.
He cursed at us.
He cursed at people, and it was brief, but it did get people's attention, so we will get to that. The Field of Dreams game, though, I think it was really cool what Major League Baseball did just because of the venue. I mean, you know, the old-timey stuff. Baseball is something that it's a sport unlike basketball, and really to a lesser extent football, cherishes their history because you have, you know, records that have been huge for years and years. We know the home run records. We know the majesty of the historical references in baseball and the context of baseball when it was played and how World War II had an impact on it and World War I and what, you know, Ted Williams going off to war instead of playing baseball. And we know that baseball's history, baseball along with boxing, have the two deepest rooted histories in the country. And boxing has fallen off while baseball, you know, still treks along as one of the top three sports. So I think capturing something from a movie that also gave you the old-time vibe, I think was something that was really cool that Major League Baseball did yesterday. Once again, I was not a huge fan of the movie itself. I was a big Bull Durham fan. The Have a Catch thing, that was the worst. And then I found out yesterday Kevin Costner was not a big fan. We've got some audio from him as well.
Can baseball take advantage? I don't care about Field of Dreams so much. I've probably seen it once all the way through. It was a thing when I was a kid, at least it first premiered. It got a lot of TV run when I was a kid. It was whatever for me. Mm-hmm. But I need baseball to take advantage of other movies that are baseball related.
Save it.
What?
I want to hear what. No. I love. We're already at 7:13.
If we're gonna do Field, I won't give away some of my ideas. But
don't give away your ideas.
If we're gonna do Field of Dreams, right. Let's take advantage of other baseball movies.
Okay, that's fine. I want to explore that a little bit as well, and I want to maybe take some movies that weren't baseball movies and put baseball field in those settings too.
Maybe we
do some of that as well. It's 7:13 here on the Bench. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. You guys can jump in if you like and comment on. I am curious to see what your thoughts were on the Field of Dreams game between the Yankees and White Sox. So if you saw that, it could be just a quick hitter. It's going to be a couple minutes here on our break, and I will get right to you. Once again, our number 713-780-3776. I do want to see what you thought about the entirety of the game, what the setup was, how did you like it, would you like for the Astros to be part of that? And we'll also get into a little bit of the national talk, which is Cam Newton and Mac Jones, before we start to talk about a less glamorous quarterback battle. I don't think it's a battle between Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor, but, you know, we can treat it as such if that makes you happy. 7:14 right here on the Bench. Keep it here. When we come back, Mac Jones had a big performance, a monster performance in the preseason yesterday, and it's got all the national media and all the New England fans talking. So I want to hit on that, and we will get into your matchup. The Astros go to take on. Hey, they're back in L.A. They're back in California where they hate the Astros. So now they've got some work to do against the Angels this time. Not the Dodgers, but this time the Angels. We'll get to that and more. 713-780-3776. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, as I mentioned, you had preseason football started. The Houston Texans aren't going to start up until Saturday. They're going to take on Green Bay Packers. And we'll see who plays and who doesn't. We know Deshaun Watson's not traveling with the team. So what? I guess I can keep giving you Deshaun updates. But unless there's something new, there's really nothing to say. I don't expect him to play at all. Although I will say, Bucky Brooks brought it up again yesterday when we taped Moving the Sticks podcast. He said, you know, he said, you get to game two. I don't know why you wouldn't just say, let's get Deshaun Watson in there. He said, because what if the NFL clears him to play? What if nothing ends up happening and he's available? You're just going to sit there and pay him to not do anything because he doesn't want to do anything? And I explained to Bucky that Deshaun was able to, he suffered his first real injury yesterday while, I think, walking. He hurt his leg. He had to have his leg looked at in the tent. So the first injury came up after he told people to stop bleeping filming him. And Bucky knows, Bucky Brooks, Bucky Brooks, former player, former scout, works at NFL Network. You know, the thing is, I think there's a good chance that he'll develop an injury so he won't have to play. But Bucky's whole point is, look, I'm pro player, but sorry, you just signed a big contract. The Texans shouldn't have to just give you money and then not expect you to play when you're one of the best quarterbacks in the league, even though you say you don't want to. If you don't want to, then you sit out. But if you come here, we're going to play you. And that's really the way it should be, because the big problem the NFL has right now is the hold ins. And he kind of highlighted this. There are TJ Watt, there are two or three players who are doing hold ins. And what they're doing is they're showing up to practice, but then not participating. So in other words, you can't fine us per day, but we also are not going to participate. Well, the league is going to have to do something about that, because basically when you show up, you're supposed to participate. If you don't show up, then they can fine you. It's part of the collective bargaining agreement, where basically if you're going to hold out, you can hold out, but it is going to cost you money and they don't get to rescind the fines for those holdouts. Well, I don't know what the league's going to do, because the Deshaun Watson situation, we saw TJ Watt is doing it. And once again, who's another player? Was it Xavier Howard that was doing that previously? Yeah, he was showing up, but was he practicing?
No, he would occasionally do some, the warm-up stuff.
So he was a hold-in also.
He was a hold-in as well, and then eventually he got more guaranteed money, got some some readily achievable, easily achievable bonuses as part of his deal this year, so he is back and in the fold.
Yeah, and so the NFL is going to eventually, I think, look at that, because they're just not going to allow players to show up, hang out at camp, just so they don't get fined and then not do anything. That completely circumvents the reason it's in there, especially guys who are under contract. Well, they're all under contract. Now, getting to the game last night, that's the Houston Texans, and we'll dig a little deeper into some of the elements of the preseason game, preseason one. Remember, there's just three games this year for most teams. The New England Patriots have an interesting national situation going on, because Mac Jones, who had a lot of attention with being the potential third pick of the draft from the San Francisco 49ers until late in the draft where we figured out it was going to be Trey Lance going there, he fell to the New England Patriots spots, I believe, at number 12, and they drafted the rookie out of Alabama, who was so good last year. I mean, he had just a great, great season. And, of course, Cam Newton is the starter that they brought back after a very disappointing season. The performance wasn't great. He had COVID. He didn't come back great from COVID. He said he had a shoulder issue. Well, New England must have bought into it, because they brought him back, and he is back this year. So right now he is the starter, but Mac Jones is on his – I think he's on the trail of potentially becoming a starter. Now, LeVar Arrington nationally said, well, Cam played two series, Mac Jones played five. That's what you do when you have – it's not even close. There's no chance Mac Jones is a starter. This is clearly Cam, because Cam got starter's work. Chris Broussard and Joy Taylor, who are also on the show, didn't really see it that way. And I'm not sure I agree with Harrington either. I think that there is nothing in Cam Newton's background with Bill Belichick that gives him an automatic in as a starter. He was not that good last year at all. He does know the offense well, but New England is in a position where I think the best man is going to win. And I don't know. I think that's going to be a battle between those two guys. And just because Cam played two series and Mac Jones played five, Mac Jones is a rookie. He needs to play as many series as he can get. And if he is going to be a starter, you need to get him those reps in the preseason. So I'd be interested to see how it goes moving forward. Once again, this isn't a Houston Texans debate. There's nothing having to do with the Texans. But it is an interesting national story because we haven't seen Bill Belichick with a new quarterback other than last year. It's been, you know, for 20 years it was Tom Brady, and now they drafted a quarterback. How quickly will they go to a guy who has some, I think they may look at that as having some Tom Brady elements, obviously. An accurate guy, a guy who plays with a lot of poise. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting to see how that one goes. How do you see that shaping up? The rookie, how do you think Bill Belichick handles that rookie versus established quarterback who's not really his quarterback?
He had a year of Cam, and I don't know if Bill Belichick's going to rationalize that year of Cam coming off an injury in a new spot, but I can't believe that he's so tied to Cam Newton that a quarterback he drafted in the first round won't get time if Cam puts in a performance like he did last year. I think Cam's performance or his positioning is just like any other stopgap veteran when it comes to, you know, an organization biding their time until they deem the rookie ready. I mean, if Cam gets off to a good start and they're 4-2, then Mac Jones probably won't play, although we saw last year the Dolphins had a winning record and they still got rid of Fitzpatrick, who had some things to say about getting his job taken away from him. He spoke about it before the game against the Patriots yesterday. But I don't know if Cam Newton's aware of a situation, but I think anyone surrounding that organization is aware. We will make the change when we deem it necessary, whether it's the bye week, whether it's performance-based. But I don't think Cam Newton makes it through the year as a starter unless he shows something he hasn't shown the last, what, 3 or 4 years as a starting quarterback. Mac Jones will start this year.
He's going to start. The question is going to be, when does he start? He's going to start for sure. And that's why when you look at the Texans, and as I roll it back into the Texans, when you have – now, the Patriots are a legitimate potential playoff contender. And Cam Newton has been a starter. When you think about the Houston Texans, Tyrod Taylor has not been a full-time starter since 2017, although the plan was for him to start last year. So it's not like he hasn't prepared to be a starter. He prepared to be a starter. He was a starter, and then he had an issue with the medical. What was the injury? What did they do? They gave him a shot, or what did they do that ended up knocking him out for the short term? And then Justin Herbert obviously became Rookie of the Year. What was his injury that he sustained from the training staff?
Didn't they puncture a lung?
Yeah, was it a punctured lung?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. That's never what you want.
No.
You never want your own training staff puncturing
hours
your lung.
Before the game?
Hours before the game, you get a punctured lung and then you lose your play. You literally never make it back because the other guy goes Rookie of the Year on you. But when you look at how the New England Patriots are going to approach this, now granted, that was a first-round pick in Mac Jones. Davis Mills is a third-round pick. But also the Houston Texans are not looked at as a team who are going to be competitive for a playoff spot at all. So one would assume they might be more ready to pull the trigger on making a move at quarterback if need be. But the fact is, I still think Tyrod Taylor is going to – I think he is going to be given the job until he's ineffective. And if he shows himself to be ineffective – and when I say ineffective, I mean either winning games or producing at an efficient quality clip statistically. If he's not there, if he's not productive, if he is not keeping games close, I think they'll go to Davis Mills. I don't think it's going to take a long time for them to go to him unless he's winning more games than expected, unless he's really performing well. Do you see a Tyrod Taylor that is going to be impressive when he hasn't been a full-time starter for 4 years? Like, do you, especially with this wide receiver core, a bunch of threes and fours, I'm not sure who he's going to lock in on other than Brandon Cooks. And can you make a living on just throwing to Brandon Cooks? I know Deshaun did last year, but that was in a four-win season.
You think – I don't think Tyrod Taylor is going to be responsible for keeping games close. Because unless we're seeing a defense that takes a major step, and I think they'll be better just because they'll be competent, at least the coordinator will be, as compared to last year, they're going to be in games where you're going to look up the scoreboard in the middle of the second quarter and it's 17-3. And sure, you can look at Tyrod Taylor for not moving the offense, but I think this defense is going to struggle in games. So I won't lay the responsibility of keeping games close on Tyrod Taylor. I don't think that should be the reason he doesn't keep his job. I think he won't keep his job because that's how these things go. They're going to be bad. There will be no reason to play him. So you take the job away from him, not because Davis Mills will play better. It's because there's no reason to continue to give Tyrod Taylor snaps, much like the Rockets are in a similar situation. Not that Tyrod Taylor is highly paid or untradeable or uncuttable in his instance, but John Wall, Eric Gordon are still on this roster, but there's no reason they should be. That's why I asked the question to Rafael Stone. He kind of said it's a little early, and we'll hear from Rafael Stone later. He joined us on the show yesterday. Why would you be giving John Wall and Eric Gordon minutes over Jalen Green, Josh Christopher, and whoever else you want to give minutes to? Same reason for the Texans. Snaps, you want to pay some deference to the veteran and give him, I don't know, what, 3-4 games if it so happens. And if you're 0-4, then those conversations start. When do we give Davis Mills snaps? Is he ready to play? Do we wait till the bye week? He should get as many snaps as possible because, really, it's unfair to the entire team that Nick Caserio drafted Davis Mills, because now you're forced to play him, and if he's not ready, you're gonna play a clearly inferior option because you have to find out.
Yeah, and I think that's you know, the Texans. There's not going to be a lot of Deshaun Watson is going to provide the only real drama for the Texans. We're just going to be looking at things. There's not going to be position battles that are going to generate a ton of excitement. I do think there are position battles potentially along the defensive front and maybe in the secondary at some point, but it feels like wide receiver is the one that's probably the most open, because you don't really have the number two and the number three spots, I think, could be up for grabs in the preseason. So I'm not sure how we're going to, you know, the quarterback thing. Tyrod Taylor should be the quarterback, and I don't think Davis Mills is anywhere near ready. The guy threw 5 interceptions against the Texans defense. That's not good. And I know he bounced back after that, but one of the things that David Culley was asked about, the head coach of the Texans, was asked about, hey, what do you think about all the turnovers that your defense is generating? But also, as a follow-up question, what do you think about your offense turning the ball over so much? I guess that's not so great, is it? And, you know, Culley had a pretty standard vanilla answer on that one, but Davis Mills, if you're getting picked off by the Texans, who had 3 interceptions last year, the entire season, you're probably not ready to play an NFL game. And you don't want to just bludgeon the kid's confidence right away. I don't think he's experienced enough or confident enough to play in an NFL game as a starter just yet. So they're going to have to really play that by ear, because only the Texans are going to know when and if he's ready for that. Because if he's not ready for it, you almost don't even want to play him in that scenario.
Is he going to be active for the first 5 weeks, or will Jeff Driscoll have that?
That's a good question. How many quarterbacks are you going to hang on to? Are you going to have 3 on your roster? Are you going to have 2? Are you going to keep? Well, you're going to have 3 quarterbacks on your roster, I would think. But are all 3 going to be active? Will it just be 2 active? That's a really good question. When we come back, I want to get into your field of dreams. Because, of course, Art, who's negative about everything,
sure.
Oh, it's corny. It's the Yankees and White Sox. They can EAD. I don't want to play catch in Iowa. You know, I didn't expect to open up Twitter and say, I bet Art like this.
I don't want to play catch in Iowa.
Yeah. I bet Art like this. No, I never thought, Art, that you would like this. But, Dale, you said you have some ideas about baseball games.
Sure.
If we're going to do the Field of Dreams idea, then build other parts.
And there's one that's obvious that other people have pointed to, and I'll lay that out. But there are other ones that I think would be great, that I think we should look into and say, you know what? There are other impactful baseball movies, particularly for people who grew up around the same time I did. Let's get those in there, too. Why is baseball? You need every way possible to market your game, and I have some thoughts.
All right, we'll do that when we come back. 7:33 right here on the bench. Your phone calls are welcome at any time, 713-780-3776. Or you can always tweet the show at DelV2, at Lance Zierlein. And we're here with you until 11 o'clock, so keep it right here. Also coming up at 8 o'clock, our interview with Rafael Stone, the Houston Rockets GM, joined us yesterday at about 10:30 and had some really good info and input into what the Houston Rockets did on draft day and what was taking place in the summer league. So we will play a condensed version of that for those of you who missed it at the 8 o'clock hour. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, I'm actually excited about this. Dell, we were talking about the amazing Field of Dreams games that Art and so many of the listeners, and yourself included, really loved and enjoyed. I think you just didn't basically care. I just wanted to see if they would pull it off and what it would look like. And I thought Major League Baseball did a great job of capturing the quaintness of the movie and the baseball in that element. You know, once again, I wasn't a huge fan of the movie personally, Field of Dreams. And a lot of it was that whole havoc. Trey, pull up Kevin Costner's on the sound sheet. It's right below the first one that you played. And you obviously had a problem with it. I had a problem with it. And I found out yesterday that Kevin Costner had a problem with it right now. And what I'm talking about is the phrase, have a catch. Okay? We played catch when we were young. Hey, you want to play catch?
Okay. I have never said to anyone, let's go have a catch.
Never in my entire life have I
never uttered that.
And that bothered the piss out of me when I heard that. It almost kind of... I thought the movie was pretty, it just dragged for me, but then to have a catch, it was almost like, oh my, what am I doing here? I could be out, you know, doing something else. Here's Kevin Costner talking about this very topic.
Kevin, I've always wanted to ask you this, because a lot of people have opinions on it. You said, do you want to have a catch? Is it have a catch or play catch? What did you grow up saying?
Yeah, I had a big, long discussion with a director that I guess that's an East Coast thing, have a catch. Because I read that, and I immediately, it just like was fingernails on a chalkboard to me. I said, yeah, hey, you want to play catch? I always said to my dad, let's play catch. Play catch. And the director, no, it's have a catch. Have a catch. He was very detailed about that idea. And I had to, it was a weird thing. I had to get my arms around it. It was almost like I had to learn how to say it.
Yeah. And you notice he didn't say, but you know what? It was great.
And the director
felt great. It felt right. And that's what I say from now on is have a catch.
The weirdo director is Phil Alden Robinson, who decided have a catch was what he was going to put in his movie.
Yeah. And he tried to take a father-son moment. Let me ask you something. When you and your dad would go outside and you'd grab the glove, let me just say, is this how it would go? I'm just going to guess.
All right.
You grab the glove. You grab your glove. You grab his glove. And you say, Dad, let's go have a catch. And then... You know, you give, or I shouldn't just presume you said that. Let's just say you gave him the glove, and then you've got the ball, and you've got a hat, and you say, Dad, you want your special hat?
Special hat.
You know, yes. And then you go get a hat.
You just
want
to do my dad's accent.
No. I just said yes.
Yes.
And then you give him.
That's what you
and
said.
And then you give him a hat. Did you say have a catch or play catch? Did your dad love playing catch with you?
We did not play did catch.
Y'all had a catch.
Then. No, we didn't have a catch. It was... Go out, hey, come out here and kick this soccer ball around, and then at
But what about the baseball part? When did he get his glove and throw a ball with you?
There was never a baseball part.
So your dad from Nigeria was not a huge baseball fan.
My dad had a homemade hoop that he put up for me to shoot, and also
hold on, homemade hoop.
Yeah,
meaning what?
He cut the wood, and he got the rim himself, but the backboard he made, and he hammered it up there.
So he had his own backboard?
Yeah.
Was it stable?
Yeah, it was good. He did a good job. And then he bought the rim, and then he put it all together.
So
it was
a real rim.
Yeah, he put it all together. Okay. And then obviously soccer was his thing as well. Have a catch. No, we weren't going to play baseball.
You never ran and brought a glove to him and said,
no.
Let's have a catch?
No.
You didn't? Never?
No.
He didn't teach you how to throw sidearm or anything like that? I don't know why I would have.
Why would he have done
submarine
that?
Style
why submarine style? Why? Submarine style? No, he taught me the knuckleball. He was a
knuckleball guy?
No, he was none of that. It was, hey.
Was your dad R.A. Dickey?
No, my dad was, hey.
Dad was not a knuckleball pitcher, Dell.
Oh, Trey.
Trey.
I understand why you call me Dell.
My dad was like, hey, put some bend on this. Pin on this free kick is what he talked about.
Yeah,
that's what
he's
he
trying
did.
To develop some spin on the kick, on the free kick, on a set piece.
Yeah, no, baseball wasn't a thing. All the baseball stuff I got was from watching movies.
But you saw baseball movies. So what baseball movies would you like to see?
Well, the first one I think should be local. You know, everyone's like, what do we do with the Astrodome? What do we do with the Astrodome? Every year we honor what was it called? Back to training, basic training. Bad News Bears.
Oh, Bad News Bears. Back was it basic training?
Something like that.
Yeah, where and they played in the Astrodome.
We play a game in the Astrodome.
Let
every
them
year.
Play.
Every year we play a game in the Astrodome. I know there are rats. I know.
So you're saying force people into the rat hut.
Yeah.
The rat hut.
Don't do anything. Like, you want to bring it back up to code? I guess you do. But, hey, let the rats roam. We play a game every year and honor the Bad News Bears.
Honor Little League Baseball, which is so huge right now. Little League Baseball is going on. Take teams,
real teams,
and throw them in there.
But not Little League teams. Have the Astros host whoever.
Have the Astros.
Oh, have a Major League game back in the Dome.
Yeah.
Always have them play the A's and let Mike Fier start so he could be amongst
his
friends.
Oh, with the rats, yeah. How about they have a special rat game where they play in, you make Joe Buck and John Smoltz come into that rat-infested Astrodome, and only if you know Mike Fiers is going to start.
Yeah,
that's
we
a good
hate
idea,
Joe
Trey.
Buck, right?
Some of us do. What we do is, since we all know what time the game is going to be in the schedule, we scheduled it to make it a Mike Fiers game. Well, Mike and his friends can pitch against the Astros.
That would be great. They have to sit in the Astrodome. The seats are all jacked up.
Yeah.
Hell, seats have been taken out of there. People, I think they were sold to people. But what would you do for, like, the Dark Knight? What would the baseball stadium look like there? So it's a Gotham stadium. If you're going to build one, but you had a Dark Knight theme like you have for Field of Dreams, what would you do with that one?
See, I'm not done with mine. We can get to yours. Rookie.
I was just going to force you into
you're not going to force. I got more. One of my favorite baseball movies of all time as a kid was Rookie of the Year. If you don't know the plot, a kid breaks his arm and he goes from this.
Fell off. Here's how it goes. He fell off of a. He was cleaning gutters. He fell off of a ladder.
No, that's not how it goes.
Hurt his arm badly.
No, that's your story. What he did, there was a baseball in the grass. He slips on it. Goes up in the air, comes down, breaks his arm, and what was an average Little League pitcher turns into a flamethrower throwing 99 miles an hour. So what I suggest
is... I can't believe that because my arm hadn't come all the way.
So what I suggest is we pull about a 13-year-old kid from the Cubs, you know, and Wrigley, break his arm and see...
Oh, so,
can we do it live on television?
I don't know if we have to do that.
You can do it, but sometimes you have to break bones. Like, doctors know how to break arms the right way. So you break it. I mean, it doesn't have to. You don't have to show the breaking live. You'd like to see the immediate, like, injury maybe being, well, you did have to. Didn't he have it? He had a cast put on.
And his arm was like this for a little while when
they
took it off.
Yeah, it was stiff because they had no range of motion.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
And when he took it off, he all of a sudden was a flamethrower. So I think we break a kid's arm.
Break a kid's arm.
A Cubs fan because, you know, it fits. And the let him play throughout the year and see how it goes.
See how he throws with a broken arm. Healed broken arm.
Yeah, not an actual.
You could give him Tommy John's.
Can we do that?
What's your movie?
This kid.
This kid totally got Tommy John.
I don't think he messed up his elbow, though. I don't know if there's a reason.
To think they gave him Tommy John.
Do you just give a kid Tommy John? I mean, I'm willing to see how it works out, but I don't think, you know, like, you could say, hey, listen, you're a Little League pitcher. Chances are at some point you're going to go about 300 innings because we know how they're going to wear you down with your 2 and 3 a days at age 11. Let's give you, okay, stay with me here, a preemptive Tommy John.
Uh-huh.
So it's not an issue in the future.
Yeah.
Let's give you, what about doing the same thing, giving kids ACL and ACL surgeries right off the bat before anything happens?
Preventative?
Just preventative ACL injury.
I think you're onto something.
Hey, kid, just in case you're, although, you know, with Tommy John, they switch out your tendons or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
I think the ACL
there.
They just repair it.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to give kids, you know, Achilles surgeries preemptive. I'm not sure that's going to really work. I do like your idea about potentially forcing a kid into the position to be Rookie of the Year. Let's see if he can really throw that hard.
Yeah. Let's prove. Let's see if that's a provable thing. Another, my darkest timeline one is the fan.
With Robert De Niro.
We have a
Giants fan.
Yeah,
we have a
huge Giants fan kidnap one of the Giants players.
Wasn't Wesley Snipes the player?
He was a player.
Wesley was your go-to athlete back in the day.
And then Omar Epps. Omar Epps as well. He was one of those guys. But I think you kidnap one of the players, kids, and then we see how it plays out. And you say, hey, you know how a kid's in a hospital and the kid goes, can you hit me a home run? And the player goes, yeah. In this one, he had to hit a home run or something bad was going to happen to his kid.
Yeah, he was forced to try to hit a home
run. Yeah, and he hit an inside the park home run. And of course, Robert De Niro said, that's not what I wanted. It had to go over fence and eventually get shot on the mound. So I think these are things we can work on. Can baseball market the fan as a thing that warms people's hearts?
So where one fan is going to be, they're the one who's kidnapped.
Look.
Or do you want to make it a child of a player?
I think that's how the movie went.
It's dark, but I'd love to get the fans in. I'd love to make it interactive with the fans one fan will be, you know, just kind of, you know, faux kidnapped.
Yeah, faux kidnapped.
We're not kidnapped. Guys, we're not so bad that we'd say actually kidnapped.
I'm not suggesting the kid actually gets kidnapped.
It's just a faux kidnapping.
It's part of the experience.
But they don't know. You don't tell them. But there's nothing bad that's going to happen. But you want to keep the element of suspense and drama alive.
And then depending on how the player does, whether he hits a home run or not, the fan may or not get shot on the mound.
Oh, we'll see. Now, that's less
with
faux.
The taser.
That doesn't sound
with
faux.
With
the
taser.
Oh, with the taser. Yeah, you can bounce.
What about rubber bullets?
Yeah, or that.
Paint gun.
Yeah, I don't.
Mainly rubber bullets.
No one actually gets hurt in any of these scenarios, except for the kid whose arm is broken because he's got a pitch.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to create the same element, see if the kid throws that hard.
Yeah, I want to see if that's provable.
He's basically a spring-loaded arm.
Yes.
Is what they tried to tell us. Is the kid's basically, you know, his arm is spring-loaded. That's why he can throw harder. We got to see, is that true? Does that really happen? My guess is doctors could come in and tell you without question what the answer is. But I need to see it.
And the final
one. Oh, yeah, and build the field, too.
And the final one is you get a kid who may have a disorder, and he says he sees angels. And then, like angels on the outfield. So we have a kid out there.
So what's that stadium like? So you got – that you, was literally you build, an angels. That was literally the angels.
Yeah, you can keep the same stadium. These are – it saves baseball money. All you have to do is find a kid who may have – who may see things, hallucinating.
Did you ever see –
just give them some MK Ultra.
We're not giving anybody drugs, Trey.
Did you
not
see,
a child, at least.
By the way, did you see, by any chance, the movie Brewster's Millions? It was – years ago, and it was like Richard Pryor owned a team, but the only way he could keep, he was given a bunch of money, but the only way he could keep all the money is if he spent. I'm trying to remember. It's like I get that and the toy mixed up where Richard Pryor. How about this movie, Dale?
Okay.
How about this movie from the 80s? Here's a pitch, and this was approved. All right, listen, guys. I got a great movie idea. We take a really rich family. With Jackie Gleason as the dad, we get a really bratty white kid. And then what we're going to do is this kid wants to have his own toy, and he wants Richard Pryor, a full-grown black man, to be his toy, his personal toy. So we're going to make a movie called The Toy where this little white kid basically owns as a toy Richard Pryor. What do you guys think? Absolutely.
Richard Pryor.
Anything with Richard Pryor's in it, make him his own personal property and toy. Like, okay, that was greenlit, by the way. Did you ever see that one, Dale?
Because
that
have.
Was a greenlit concept.
I believe I have seen that movie.
That we said, you know what? It was a simpler time where, you know, this Ooh. Little bratty kid could have a toy.
I'm looking at
the toy was Richard Pryor.
I'm looking at the movie poster. It's Jackie Gleason moving Richard Pryor around like because he has marionette strings on him. He's like, doot, doot, doot.
Yeah.
I said, wow. Wow.
I would have given a little. Yeah, I don't think they're going to do a remake of that one.
No.
Or it'll be like one of Will Smith's kids gets to own, you know, Doug Stanhope or somebody, some comedian like that. Yeah,
to make
you'd
it
have
more
to,
palatable.
Yeah, you'd have to do that. You'd have to do that.
I just think you get a kid with schizophrenia, and he tells people.
I like the start of this.
This is Angels in the Outfield. What we don't know, so this kid's in a group home. He has schizophrenia, and it turns out he sees angels. Really, the kid needs he needs pills.
Yeah. This is getting way medicine. Too dark.
That's what Angels in the Outfield is. It's a kid with schizophrenia who sees things. And it leads the Angels to, I think they win the division title or something like that.
Why do they always win the division? They never win the World Series in any of these movies.
Because
You want it to be more realistic.
Yeah, that Angels team was terrible. They weren't winning
the World
Series. Being
able to see Angels is already tough enough, but you want it to be realistic. The Angels were never going to win a World Series.
No, not back then.
And they're not going to now.
But they did like 4 years later. Or 6 years
about
later.
7 or 8 years later, yes. But that Angels team with Tony Danza as one of your starting pitchers was not going to win.
No.
Was he the one that died at the end? Like, the dude's like, he's going to be dead in 6 months. He smokes too much.
I don't know. I don't remember if Tony Danza
died.
What
you're talking about there.
What do you mean? You know, it's at the end of the movie.
I didn't even watch the movie. I just know what the movie's about. I just like Dell's premise that we take a kid who needs pills, and we actually treat him like he's some baseball savant.
Oh, look, he sees angels. No. Yeah.
Sometimes
there's some dark movies that we're pitching here.
I don't think these are going to fly.
We break a kid's arm. This is how the movie starts. We break someone's arm. All right, what else? What else you got? You got another remake of The Toy?
The most wholesome one is the kid becomes a manager.
Yeah.
Remember that kid who was a twins fan and becomes a manager? See, the darker ones, I think, sell better.
Put me There Will Be Blood. Let's make a stadium out in some kind of, out in the plains where it's all dusty and you have a bunch of oil men out there watching games, just screaming at kids. You know, I want to see something
like that.
I want to start there and I'll develop my.
You want a reenactment where some kid gets beat to death with a bowling pin?
Well. Or managers could be bludgeoned to death like Daniel Plainview did.
Which manager?
Remember the religious guy who ended up getting bludgeoned to death?
Yeah.
You know, if you're a manager and you don't do well, Daniel Plainview would, I understand that you went to the bullpen a little bit early, and I didn't like the selection of Ryan Stanek, and I definitely didn't like when you went to Brooks Raley. So now I'm going to bludgeon you to death. Like, I don't want to see Papa Dusty get bludgeoned?
No.
But maybe the same Paul Dano character get bludgeoned.
And that dude was annoying in that movie.
I know.
That's why he got beat to death.
That's why he bludgeoned.
And the movie is Little Big League, where the kid was is a grandson and he becomes a manager.
Yeah, that was the most boring of all your pitches.
It's the most wholesome.
Stupid one. I don't care about that dumb one. Let's break it right now.
Don't we have our own version of Little Big League with Cal?
Yeah, I can't figure out who Cal is. I mean, everyone says he's Big Enos from, or Little Enos, whatever it was.
Well, that's what he looks like. But
That's what he looks like. But I don't, that's really more, I think the Tommy Boy thing is already kind of locked in, I think.
That's true.
I don't think anything's going from there. Let's break it right here. So you're welcome. Right off the bat, we've already given you guys some movie ideas. If any of you want to develop it or whatever.
And it's not even a movie. They're already movies. It's just what Major League Baseball should do to market their game.
I think they stuck with Field of Dreams pretty much to the T, so I say we stick with those other movies.
Yeah, and the other one is The Sandlot. Everyone's saying lean into The Sandlot.
Yeah. That's an easy one.
Where do you even find The Sandlot?
That actually could be made. Like, I could see them making a stadium and doing a Sandlot type game, but then you can't really have stands.
Can they do one for the Sandlot 2, where there's all those dryers?
Who's seen the Sandlot 2?
I have.
That's a real movie?
Yeah.
I think they got to 3 or 4, actually.
Yeah.
All right, we're combining breaks right here, so let me tell you about my friends over at SiteJab. They're somebody who can combine your old site into your new needs when it comes to your websites. Website development is a really big deal because what you don't know about website development, you think it's just laying out your information on a site and that's it. It's really not. And SiteJab will tell you they have over 23 years of experience in this business. And it really is more about, it starts with the color scheme and the layout and the design. It needs to grab your attention. They need to have, in many cases, depending on what your business is, you want to have some integrated videos where people can hit play. And they need to be well-produced, and they can get an idea of what business, you know, what you're offering and how it works. It could maybe be about you as the owner of your business. They will, if e-commerce needs to be on there, they can add e-commerce to your site. That you need to have a website that keeps people engaged on that site, because the longer they're there, the better the opportunity that you're going to turn those eyes into actual business leads. So make sure that the entire suite of products from SiteJab is on display for you, and you can get your hands on it and see exactly, you know, what they can do for you to start making you more money with your website being the catalyst there. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com. When we come back, we will hear from Houston Rockets general manager Rafael Stone. He joined us late in the show yesterday, but he had some great information about their draft and the summer league performances of some of their players, and we'll have a condensed version of it for you coming up here at 8 o'clock. So don't go anywhere, as Rockets general manager Rafael Stone will join us, and you'll hear his comments coming up in about 3 to 5 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.